This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. We're getting you some news from the nest. You just heard from head coach John Harbaugh there talking about Marcus Williams and showing his confidence in Marcus Williams and all the things he likes about Marcus Williams. Didn't get to see him on the field this past week. We saw him on the sidelines, but not in the field of play. Harbs didn't commit when asked whether or not we would see Marcus Williams on the field this Sunday. But Vinny, we've talked a lot about it in the early part of the show, but for those just joining us, I mean, where are you at in this Marcus Williams saga right now?
Well, where am I at? He hadn't played well. That's the biggest thing is he's got to play better. I've been critical of him every game because I went back and watched last year's film and he was 100 times more aggressive with one arm. Now, Cordell, when was the day that you talked to him?
I talked to him on Thursday.
This past Thursday?
Yeah.
Play that real quick, Norm.
I don't really know. I just do my job. Whatever they ask of me, I just do it. And if that's being the post, that's being down, is what I'm going to do.
Now, did you know at that time he wasn't starting?
No.
I didn't know that.
And I didn't leave that interview with him feeling like, you know,
he wasn't.
Yeah, that he was upset or he wasn't going to be on the field on Sunday. Definitely didn't think that.
Yeah, so nothing. Now, when you talked to him Thursday, then you saw on Sunday that he wasn't playing, were you shocked?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, it wasn't even on my radar. He was active, you know. It wasn't like he was a healthy scratch, so he's active. So it's like, all right, he's going to be out there. And then I see the Jeff Zryback tweet of a picture of him on the sideline without his helmet, and the first team defense is on the field. And it's like, what?
Now, nobody, when you interviewed him, no body language was different.
He's, you know, very
what kind
mild
of guy
mannered.
Is he?
He's very kept. He keeps to himself a lot. I mean, he's in and out. You heard in the response there, very short talker. He's not giving you long-winded answers. So it wasn't anything out of the norm that I normally see from him. I honestly thought it was just a regular Thursday, and I caught him at a good time.
Yeah. Too bad he didn't want to talk a little bit more.
Yeah, that would have been great.
He's either going to do one of two things, Marcus Williams. He's either going to come back and be the player that he was. I mean, Cordell, 3 years ago when he first came here, he had four interceptions in the first four games. And then something is off this year. Something's wrong. Something's off. Because at the minicamp and stuff, he was looking
good.
Great.
The defense as a whole looked really, the secondary looked really good in camp. Fast.
Well, Hamilton wasn't there, remember?
Right. He had some spurts where he wasn't
there. Right, and Marcus Williams was kind of controlling everything and taking charge of everything. And that's why his play has totally shocked me. I'm like, where's this coming from?
To your point earlier, I mean, outside of Jones, who's having a big year, Marlon, who's having a bounce back year this year for him. Outside of that, on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, Van Noy got off to a hot start, no doubt, but that's cooled off a little bit, which is expected. But yeah, nobody else has really taken their game to the next level, or even at best, matching what they did last year, I would say, on an impact level to this point in the season.
Now, when you look, because everybody always mentions, you know, about Roquan, and I went back and looked at last year's film and stuff. He looked quicker and more. Does he look like, when you see him in a locker room and stuff, does he look like he's gained weight or anything, Cordell?
I'm going to be honest. I thought last year Roquan was a little pudgy at times. If you look at some of the games last year, I'm pretty sure you'll see a little stomach on Roquan in those games too. So I'm not one of the people that thinking that oh, it just popped up this year. I didn't think that. That's it. I just think it's something. It's not to say that Simpson won't eventually give them what Patrick Queen gave them, but I do believe that connection that Queen and Roquan had, they missed that. And again, I'm not saying that they're wrong for not bringing Patrick Queen back. It is what it is. It's a numbers game, but I just think that's a part of it. They miss a little bit of that chemistry that was there between those guys, to where, if nothing else, they knew what the other person was doing. They didn't feel stretched out. We didn't talk. I mean, were we talking about the middle of the defense being an issue like this last year? Were we talking about Roquan Smith the way that we're talking about him right now last year? I mean, everybody talked about Roquan helping Patrick Queen, but I think it's something to be said that maybe they just helped each other out, honestly.
No, I tend, because both of them kind of struggled a little bit this year. So, yeah, I can believe that. And Simpson's a younger guy, and he's got to teach him.
And he's getting more play. I mean, he played a lot Sunday. He played almost the whole game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So they're feeling better. And, you know, the Tampa game, Roquan probably had his best game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had 18 tackles, but so did Simpson.
Right.
You know, he had a bunch of tackles. Now, when I've been watching the film, the All-22 of the Cleveland game, the biggest problem was the D-line was getting worn out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they had linemen direct
yep.
B-line to the linebacker. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're talking 320 pounds on, you know, 100 or 220 pounds. It's just not fair. And that you know, and you got a guard coming out at you, you know, right away. And then on the one play, Simpson, what he's got to learn, you know, like he's waiting in the hole and the back's coming. And then, boom, he gets his clock clean, you know, by the tight end or by a guard or something. Got to be, you can't hesitate. Can't hesitate in the hole. You see it, see ball, get ball. You know, go get it. Go get it. And, you know, that's a play that Queen probably makes. And you know what? Simpson will learn from that because mm-hmm. he got ear hold.
Let's play one more cut before we get out of here. The pass rush, I feel like, has been an underlining issue for this team through the first eight games of the season. And I don't think it's a – I think when you look at it numbers-wise, their sacks are going to be there. We mentioned Van Noy, who got off to a hot start to the year. That's cooled off a little bit. But my biggest concern is their situational pass rush. But here's Harbs talking about their pass rush to this point in the season.
Yeah, I'm happy with it a lot of the times. I think if you look at the stats and all that, kind of what you're referring to, it's not as consistently there as you're going to want it to be. I think some of that is the fact that we've played some really mobile quarterbacks. So we've had to kind of cage rush a little bit. You know, maybe that's somewhere we've got to do more blitzing. You know, on first and second down, we did some, you know. Zach called a couple edge blitzes that got there. So we'll be looking real hard at that.
I mean, God knows they blitzed a lot on the second half and definitely to end the game and still didn't get home.
Nope.
But I think we talk a lot about this secondary and their struggles and just the back end of the defense in general. But it goes hand in hand, Vinny, and I've talked about it before. You're seeing these cover zero blitzes. All right, that's fine. But what are these guys on the back end doing to at least slow these wide receivers down? If you're going to give them free releases and give them 7-8 yards on the cover zero blitz, what's the point?
I agree 100%. And you know what? And you've got 5 yards to get your hands on people. For them not to even touch, give them free releases, to me, is like you, same thing. It's kind of ridiculous. Beat them up at the line of scrimmage. Right. Because you know what? You're disrupting timing.
Exactly.
If you're not touching him, you know, and the guy's supposed to run 18, the quarterback's boom, you know, they're right on time. Disrupt it. Why? Why do you need to disrupt it? Because if you disrupt it and the quarterback's got to take another hitch, that gives your pass rushers more time to get there.
Yep.
So that you, if they throw in rhythm, more than likely you're not getting there.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll play a little buy or sell, check in on the stock market, answer some questions in the world of sports as well. That's next here on The Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you the Dirty Dozen, see who the 12 best teams in the league are this week. Vinny Serrato will give you his list there. But right now, let's play a little buy or sell. Let's check in on that stock market.
Well, Cordell, it says Wall Street awaits big tech earnings. So right now, the Dow is down 54. The S&P's up 11. NASDAQ's up 99. DraftKings up 16 cents. Under Armour's up a nickel at 812.
We'll start here with baseball. Juan Soto and the Dodgers, they're pitted against each other right now in the World Series. But just a few weeks from now, the attitude could change when free agency begins. According to John Heyman, the Dodgers will be among the teams in the Soto free agency sweepstakes with the qualifier if Soto's interested. Now, we know spending big money, that's not an issue for LA. Just look at their roster. Last offseason, giving all the money to Otani, Yamamoto as a pitcher, and they didn't stop there. Cordell, are you buying or selling that Soto would want to go back to the West Coast after spending some time in San Diego?
I'll buy it. I mean, he'll definitely be able to afford it. That's for sure. Yeah. That's usually the biggest hurdle. So, yeah, I don't. It seemed like he liked his time out there with the Padres. And look, I'm always go back to Soto never wanted to leave D.C. So I wouldn't put it past that. But they're not going to spend that type of money to be able to compete with the Dodgers. I think if it came down to it, Soto would definitely go back to L.A.
Well, this Anthony Richardson situation from Sunday's loss to the Texans continues to gain traction in the media. If you didn't see it or you missed it, he checked himself out of the game late in the third quarter because, by his own admission, direct quote here, he needed a break. Said he was running a lot in previous plays. It should be noted that he did check himself out on third down as well. It was a crucial down in a one-possession game. The moment led to even more questions for head coach Shane Steichen yesterday when he was straight up asked, will Richardson be the starter next week? His answer, quote, we're evaluating everything. Vinny, buy or sell, as disappointing as the moment was, benching Richardson would be a mistake.
I'll sell that. I think they got to do what it takes to win games, and I think that if they start Flacco, I think they'll have a really good chance to win. If they start Richardson, I mean, what are the? It'd be interesting to find out like what the teammates think. I mean, if the head coach, you probably got to go to your veteran committee or whatever to see what they're feeling too. You know, to get a feel. I mean, but if I'm a team member, I'm like, what the hell? You know, like an offensive lineman, I don't check out. You know, so I mean, I've never seen it.
Yeah, ever. That was the. I mean, he patted his helmet. That's, you usually see that in like basketball. Guys will start to pat their head when they need a break or something like that. I saw it live. I couldn't believe what I was. Well, I thought he was saying he was hurt a little bit. I thought that's what he was saying, but he came right back in. And then at the end of the game, he admits that he was tired. I mean, it was a tough play. I mean, he broke out of a sack. He runs for, you know, a nice chunk of yardage. That said, it can happen. I watched Cam Newton run through guys almost every play and get back in the huddle every time. Lamar, who's openly talked about how tired he is in between plays, but Lamar has never checked out. Never.
Yeah, imagine being Steichen there. He's coming out of the game. You're thinking, oh, my God, this guy's hurt. What's going on? That's our quarterback. And he's like, what do you mean you're tired?
Luckily, out there. Luckily, Joe had his helmet on and was, paying attention because, I mean, he's probably not expecting to just get thrown into the game like that.
Even like McAfee was saying, and he's a Colt dude, you know. He was like, I've never seen that before in my life.
That's a bad look.
And like I said, it's third down. Flacco comes in, they had him handed off. So I'm wondering if they change the play call because of that. They end up having to settle for a field goal there in a close game. That's huge. More from baseball here. The gripes of players, managers, and fans. They've finally been heard by Rob Manfred and MLB because next spring we'll get to see the strike zone challenge system be implemented on a trial basis. Again, just for spring training to start. It's been already in effect in AAA. If you don't know what it is, essentially allows each team three challenges per game that can be quickly checked without a delay to the game. You don't like a call, talking balls and strikes here. You want to challenge it, you can. They can do it in under 30 seconds. seamlessly. It doesn't stop the game. But Cordell, buy or sell, just like the pitch clock a few years back, this will be something that finds its way to the regular season very soon.
I'll buy this. I'll buy this because it seems to be the medium between where they are now and going to an automated strike zone. I can get with this, you know, and especially if it's going to be a quick decision on whether it's a ball or strike. You only get three. Of course, they want to argue every call, but you won't be able to. So I like this because I don't want to take the umpires out of the game. I like the idea of an automated strike zone. I just don't like that aspect of the game completely being taken out of it. So this is a nice medium ground.
And we'll close with this. Bryce Young, he was put back into the Panthers' starting quarterback role on Sunday. Andy Dalton was injured, so he couldn't go. Far from a clean afternoon for him, but considering, you know, he had two interceptions, but he did have a pair of touchdowns, over 200 yards passing, and he was going up against a tough defense as well. But with Dalton being healthy again at some point in the near future, people are wondering if they'll just go back to him when he's ready. Dave Canales didn't offer up anything when he was asked about it yesterday, just that they're going to continue to evaluate Dalton's health. But Vinny, buy or sell, Young showed enough against the tough Broncos defense to earn another start.
Yeah, especially when he had no weapons either. Everybody was hurt. So I would say absolutely. And we know what Dalton is. They know what Dalton is. You got to find out what you, and it's not like you're going anywhere.
Right.
You're going to have the first pick in a draft.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over. Like, let the kid go. I just don't understand why it's even a question at this point. And even going back to the Anthony Richardson thing, I'm not necessarily against them benching him. I do wonder how much of it is him and how much of it is the scheme. It feels very eerily similar to the Justin Fields conversation when he was in Chicago. But if they bench Richardson and go to Flacco, I mean, can you even go back to Richardson after that? Are we talking about the Colts being back in the running for a quarterback this offseason?
It kind of reminds me of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
You know, is what it reminds me of. And you know what's interesting is like the energy and enthusiasm that Cleveland Brown team had when Flacco came in last year and when Jameis came in the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the players are sending you a message
right.
that we don't want that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
if
Flacco comes in for Indy this week, I wouldn't be shocked if he does. You know, and just, hey, you got to learn a little bit. And I think in the locker room, I think that would play big. You got to kind of send a message. And then you watch. They're going to go win with Flacco. They're going to keep winning with Flacco.
And that's kind of the only problem, because Cordell's saying, hey, do you reconsider drafting a quarterback next year? But with Flacco, they could win 9 games or 8 games.
Yep.
And that puts you middle of the pack. You're kind of not in that opportunistic area when it comes to the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? To the other dudes on the team, man, do whatever it takes to win. I mean, Anthony Richardson, what's he completing 50% of his passes?
You don't even want to look at that. He's not an efficient passer at all. It's a struggle to watch it. And I like the mobile quarterbacks and everything. Don't get me wrong, but this dude, it's a struggle to watch that Colts offense when he's out there. But for whatever reason, Flacco was out there. That ball is moving. It's getting out quick.
Yep.
I don't know. It definitely is up for discussion in Indianapolis, it seems like. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to Vinny's Dirty Dozen. Who are the 12 best teams in the NFL? We'll hear from Vinny next here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney's Dirty Dozen. The 12 best NFL teams according to our GM, Vinny Serrato.
You're damn right I'm serious. Look, they might not be pretty, but any one of mine is worth 10 of yours.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Coming up at 12:45, we'll look at this Ravens defense, specifically this pass rush has been non-existent when they need them to be there. We'll see what the issue is on that side of the ball. But right now, we're looking at Vinny's Dirty Dozen. And Vinny, let's start with last week's rankings.
All right, last week's rankings, we had Kansas City 1. Baltimore 2, Detroit 3, Green Bay 4, Buffalo 5, Houston 6, Minnesota 7, Washington 8, Pittsburgh 9, Philly 10, Chicago 11, and Indy 12. All right. So, Dirty Dozen Week 9. Coming in at number 12. 4-3 Chicago. They lost at Washington 18-15. They're at Arizona, which is going to be a really interesting game. Now, the Bears allow the lowest quarterback rating in the NFL, 76.2. That defense pretty good. I mean, they lost 18-15, but in actuality, if you just bat the ball down, you end up winning, what, 15-12?
Yep.
Coming in at 11, 5-3 Atlanta. They won at Tampa, 31-26. They're hosting Dallas. Kirk Cousins is on pace to pass John Elway on the career TD pass list before the end of the season. That'd be pretty big for Cousins.
Yes. Numbers guy.
Big time numbers. Kind of like who else? Rivers was kind of like that.
Yeah, Rivers definitely has monster numbers.
Stafford.
I'd say Dak is another one of those guys that puts up numbers. Not necessarily gets the wins, but he gets the numbers.
Coming in at 10, 6-2 Minnesota. They lost at the Rams last Thursday, 30-20. They're hosting Indy. Vikings lead the NFL with 12 defensive interceptions. Now, if Richardson's playing, they'll get a couple interceptions. Mm-hmm. If Flacco's playing, that's going to be a high-scoring game.
Now, Darisaw went down, and I think he's down. I think he's gone for the year now for them at left tackle. That's a huge blow for them on that offensive line. So we'll see how that impacts things.
Coming in at 9, 6-2 Washington. Beat Chicago 18-15. They're at the Giants. And Washington has scored in 30 of their last 31 quarters.
Pretty good.
They had no problems, scoring. A lot of field goals. And Cordell, really. I mean, the Giants should have beat them, and Chicago should have beat them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really feel bad about the Giants. When bad teams find ways to lose games, that's what they did.
Not having a kicker.
Yeah, I mean, that's on them. The Chicago one, for sure. You got it. Luck was a part of that, but they practiced
it.
And
they
got in positions. Chicago didn't. They're out there celebrating and jawing at fans and doing whatever.
That was crazy. Coming in at 8, 5-2 Philly. They won at the Bengals 37-17. They're hosting Jacksonville. The Eagles have not scored a first quarter point all season. How about that? They haven't played Washington yet, have they?
No, they haven't. The Eagles, they're a tough team to put your finger on. They're a good team, don't get me wrong, but they definitely have their moments to where they look unrecognizable themselves.
Yeah. Sirianni says they're starting to come together as a team.
We'll see. They just won, so of course they feel great.
Coming in at 7, 6-2 Pittsburgh. Beat the Giants 26-18. They're on bye. Steelers have outscored their opponents 53-0 in the third quarter. Mm. Woo! You talk about making adjustments, you know?
That defense is real, too.
Coming in at 6, 6-2 Houston. Beat Indy 23-20. They're at the Jets Thursday night. Texans, they're second in the NFL, allowing only 5.36 yards per pass play. So Texans defense has been legit too.
Yeah,
they've a lot of guys hurt.
I'm about to say they're falling apart offensively. Yeah. The latest being Stephon Diggs, who he might be done for the year.
Oh,
for all
ACL
we know.
Probably.
Yeah.
Coming in at 5-6-2 Green Bay. They won at Jacksonville 30-27. They're hosting Detroit. Probably the biggest game of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers lead the NFL with 19 takeaways.
Got to see what happens with Jordan Love, who's dealing with that groin.
Yep. Willis didn't do bad.
Yeah, but you don't want Willis for this game.
No, because you're going to have to score in this game. Coming in at 4, 5-3 Baltimore. Lost at Cleveland 29-24. They're hosting Denver. Lamar and King Henry have 1,447 rush yards combined. That's more than Dallas and the Jets combined.
Insane.
Yeah. Coming in at 3, probably one of the hottest teams, 6-2 Buffalo. They skull-dragged Seattle at Seattle, 31-10. They're hosting Miami. Bills are tied for the NFL lead with only 3 giveaways all season.
Which is crazy because Josh Allen, being the gunslinger that he is, He's taking very good care of the ball this year. He actually isn't running. I think
they're running the ball.
They're running the ball. Yep. He's not running it as much as he normally does. I think that wrist injury that he suffered early in the season slowed him down a little bit in a good way.
Coming in at 2-6-1 Detroit. Beat Tennessee 52-14 at Green Bay. The Lions have scored 172 points in the last four games. There are 15 teams that haven't scored over 172 points all season.
They have the best 1-2 rushing attack in terms of running backs in the league. Without question. They have the two best running backs in their backfield.
And they really haven't missed a beat yet without Hutchinson.
Nope.
But in a tight game, that it could show up. Coming in, and still see if they do anything in the trade deadline, too. Coming in at 1, 7-0 Kansas City, 1 at Vegas, 27-20. They're hosting Tampa on Monday night. Godwin won't be back. Not Will Godwin. Evans be back? Probably not.
I don't think so. I think they're going to take their time with Evans, especially considering they were still able to put up points this week. I like what the Bucs are doing. Granted, I expect the Chiefs to win.
KC is second in the AFC in time of possession, 32-20. And Kelsey had a big game for me. He had 10 catches for 90 yards. So in summary, Kansas City 1, 2 Detroit, 3 Buffalo, 4 Baltimore, 5 Green Bay, 6 Houston, 7 Pittsburgh, 8 Philly, 9 Washington, 10 Minnesota, 11 Atlanta, and 12 Chicago.
Yeah, nice list there. I mean, the league is very much, I think, up for grabs, especially in the NFC. AFC, maybe not so much, but they are the top teams are the top teams in the AFC. NFC, it's some room there for somebody to sneak in. The deadline this year will be very interesting.
Yeah. The thing that's scary about the Chiefs, Cordell, is their defense, I think, is ranked second. And the offense hadn't played well yet.
Mm-hmm.
Can you really, Mahomes hadn't played well yet. Can you imagine when Mahomes gets hot, what happens?
And I expect that to eventually happen as D-Hop get that chemistry together. Because I do think Hopkins is going to help that offense sure once he gets fully acclimated. Eventually, Pacheco will be back. You know, and they've been good with Kareem Hunt back there as well.
Kareem Hunt's playing well.
So
they just don't have, on their offense right now, not a lot of speed.
Right.
That's the biggest issue they got.
We'll see if
Worthy can run.
Yeah, but he's not there yet in terms of, you know, being the receiver that they can depend on regularly. He's not there yet.
So, yeah, he's not playing 4-2.
Right. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll look at this Ravens defensive pass rush right now. A lot of talk about that secondary, and rightfully so, but the two go hand in hand. We'll start to look at this pass rush and what they can do better next here on The Fan. It doesn't show up necessarily when you're watching, and I think mainly it's because they're not getting there when they need to get there. When they need to get off the field, they're not able to do it. They're struggling on third downs this year, and I think a large part is due to them not being able to get to the passer. And in the fourth quarter as well, some of these drives have been extended by that.
Well, Cordell, they're last in the league in number of pass attempts, the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
308 times they've been thrown upon, you know, and the thing about it is teams are completing 67%.
Right.
With a quarterback rating of 103.4. So, I mean, they're having a ton of success, you know, and you say, the Ravens run. They only run it 170 times on her. They throw it 130 times more. So in eight games, right? So what's that? An average of 15 more passes a game than they run it? You know, why beat your head against the wall, you know, if you're having a hard time running it?
Yeah, I mean, through this point in the season, the carries, they're up to 260 carries on the year. But it says here 237 on the attempts. But either way.
That's the Ravens' offense.
Oh, yeah, the offense.
I'm talking about the defense.
Yeah, no doubt the ball is getting thrown on them a lot.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And that's what I said. That's why they give up a quarterback rating and completion percentage and average per completion. They give up 8.1 yards, which is almost last in the league. And they're almost last in the league on third downs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you're last in all those categories, you know, your pass stuff is not good. You know, you're good on first down on average per rush, but it doesn't matter on third down.
And it's disappointing when you see them trying to get to the quarterback on the back end of the game by sending all those zero blitzes, and they just can't get there.
Well, that's because other teams know that you got to do that, and they're keeping a tight end in or a running back, and you're bringing five. They could pick up five.
And that's my issue is who on this team is consistently winning one-on-one right now to get to the quarterback? That's what it boils down to. Who is winning one-on-one in these gotta-have-it situations? And when you're trying to force third and longs, when you're trying to get off the field on third downs, who's making a play right now?
Well, how about Cleveland had a kid, 79, number 79, playing left tackle for the first time in his life. In his life. And Conklin's a run guy, the right tackle, and they couldn't beat either one of those guys. And everybody else, you know, is beating those guys like they're standing still. They did keep a guy in to chip a lot on both sides, mm-hmm. you know, at times. So that makes things more difficult, you know. So, but you know what's embarrassing about that? You're max protecting. You're sending out two guys late. Means your receivers are all winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the biggest problem in that game was their receivers won one-on-one, and the Ravens' receivers didn't win one-on-one.
Let's grab a couple of calls before we go to break. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. Kevin, appreciate you holding. Let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, you're on the fan.
What up, Vinny? What up, Cordell?
What's going on?
Chilling, fellas. Chilling, man. It's a nice day out here in the streets. But I guess from my side of things, right, and it's not maybe a lot of the other finite details, per se, that people have already shared. But I think when I had shared this on your show, Cordell, when I had said, you know, rallying around Orr was a good idea, it looks like they've made an attempt to try to do that. But I guess my only point is I feel like something in the defensive side of the locker room with the defensive team we had last year, coaches-wise, the head coach and the general manager, something got very uncomfortable because to me, that seemed, I realized Mike McDonald obviously had a great opportunity. So did the other two men. But to just see that amount of elimination on the defensive side of the ball for us to go with a rookie really is a cause for concern. And I appreciate, Vinny, you putting respect on your opinion side of it with the way you spoke about it, because, you know, you're a good man in my opinion and all. But I will say it, you know, they made a grave mistake doing this. I mean, I feel bad for Zach Orr just as much as I do for everybody else.
They took a huge chance, a big gamble.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. Yeah, I mean, look, we said it coming out of last year. It was a lot of turnover on the defensive side of the ball from coaches to players. And they had played at such an all-time level last year. You knew there was going to be natural regression just because it's tough to back that up a consecutive year. But then you combine it with all the turnover that they had. I don't know if anybody is necessarily surprised that the defense isn't as good as it was last year. I think we're just surprised that the things that they're dealing with to this point in the season are still happening. It seems like things that they should be able to control. Communication is something they can control. You don't need great players to communicate.
And the thing that, I guess, what's happening negatively more so than not on the offensive side is penalties.
Mm-hmm.
They get a lot of penalties. They lead the league, I think.
Calling back big plays.
Yes, a lot of yards that they've lost because of penalties, and probably points too because of penalties. So, I mean, that's the thing that they've got to clean up. Whereas the defense, you know, I just don't like the fact, you know, and we talked about it earlier, that Harb says, well, I watch film and everybody does it. So does that make it right? Doesn't make it right?
No.
No, I mean, it's killing you defensively. You know, I wish he just said, we got to fix it. We're trying to fix it. We haven't fixed it yet, but we got to get it done. I mean, that's on us. We got, you know, it's on us. It's on the players. It's on the coaches. We got to get that done. I mean, that you know, because the thing about it, Cordell, is if it's one guy screwing up all the time, you bench that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's multiple, okay, you know what we got to do? We're going to simplify stuff. And we're going to, if we only can play one defense, we're going to play one defense. You know, and then we're going to add stuff. Are we being too complicated? I don't know. Maybe we are because we keep screwing up.
Yes, they've got a lot of questions, and it doesn't seem like they have a lot of answers for those questions right now.
No, if they had answers, it wouldn't be happening right. 8 straight weeks.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some NFL lunch. Look around the NFL, whose names are on the trade block, which teams are ascending, which teams are downgrading, and their season is probably over right now. It's a handful of those teams. We'll look at it next here on The Fan.